The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. Division week in the NFL. Kelly, good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm pumped, man. I feel like even watching some basketball and stuff last night, whenever you see like one of the promo commercials for divisional weekend, I'm like, oh man, I am pumped for these games.
And hang on to football while we can.
Yep, that's
hang
right.
Hang on to it, because after this weekend, oh no, the depression starts to kick in. By the way, Aaron Schatz letting me know he will be on Radio Row, so he'll be one of our guests. And again, we're working on Usher. That's our big goal.
That's right.
For Radio Row. Kelly thinks I'm joking. I'm not joking. Usher. Start promoting Usher on a numbers game. Okay, on the show today, we will talk division round football with Mike Pritchard, with Will Hill, all his bets. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke with all of his bets today as well. And Major League Baseball season win totals. That's got to be a typo. That can't be true, but it is. Paul Sporer will join us for a little off-season season win totals talk at Major League Baseball. They're up at DraftKings. I think they're up at one other shop as well. I know Caesars has them as well, but DraftKings has them up. And so Sporer's got thoughts here in the middle of January. Can I start the show really reflecting my current agitated mood? I know I'm supposed to come in here every morning, Kelly, and just to be all chipper.
It just doesn't work like that sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, because we joke all the time on this show. We have a blast every morning. But I will tell you that, in case you haven't noticed over all these years, I bet, if not 365 days a year, yeah, 360 of them. Seriously. It's in my DNA. It's in many of our DNA. I don't know if all of you have the same experience where you're getting football picks from guys out on a football field in full pads when you're 8 years old, but that's me. That's the life I led. And so I become, you know, when things are going well, things are great. But when you have and I had a great football season, and I still might have great futures hitting beyond the ones I've hit already. But I've had a bad week. Wild card weekend was not fabulous for me. And then this is just sort of a reflection for those who do things by models. If you have data to support your bets, and this is what makes sports betting such a puzzle. And again, so fascinating why I decided to do a podcast on it more than 10 years ago, because it is a reflection of the human condition, because you're fighting all kinds of things. So I, over the last two nights in the Australian Open, long story short, have left no fewer than 7 underdogs out there on the board that my, I think that was my computer, Kelly's like looking around the D. I think it's over at Sigma Derby. Kelly, why don't you check into it?
Well, I'm so bad. Sorry. No, mine dinged. I went and muted it, and then I heard yours ding, and I'm like, what's wrong with my computer?
I don't know. I think you should go over there and check things out. Investigate those people. So I left no fewer than 7 dogs on the board these last two nights. Zeppieri on the men's side two nights ago. Last night it was 6. Andreeva, Zakharova, Timofeeva, Magdalene Fresh, and Caboli on the men's side. Oh, Van Esch on the men's side as well. Those are 7 dogs, some of which are big dogs. And so so by the way, you then say to yourself, well, you idiot, if your numbers said that, why didn't you play them? Like, obviously you would play them. And the point is that when you bet certain sports by model, I don't bet every sport by model, but I do tennis, you don't play every edge that you have. So Dr. Bob, I don't know if people caught this in all the times Dr. Bob has been on. He has his 3 stars, though he doesn't have many of those anymore, because he's like super duper honest that he doesn't have that kind of edge on certain games. But he's 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 stars, and then he has strong opinions. And he never bets his strong opinions. And he has years where his strong opinions do tremendously well, and he always laments it. And I remember the guy, his father figure dude, who always used to control the betting accounts, be like, why don't you play your strong opinions, Bob? Yeah. You're leaving money on the board. And that's how I feel the last 2 days. And so I have, just because I entered the process, the human side of it entered the process and said, no, I can't bet 12 matches in a given night or whatever it is. I'm not betting every edge that I show. By the way, I didn't show every edge on every dog that got home, but that many I did. You can't bet everything. And so some nights you reduce it to 3 or 4, and you turn what would have been a winning night into a losing night. And so that's, I am so angry at myself. I know it's irrational
No, it
on
is.
The one hand, but it It bothers me so much that an already loopy Australian Open week lost sleep over it.
Yeah,
just, it's so annoying.
It's a better it's a better's mindset, yeah. Thing, right? Especially if you're running your own numbers. I was glad you brought this up because this was it's. There's a lot of similarities between how you attack tennis, how I attack golf. And when I'm running statistical models for every tournament, it's not like there are edges with a ton of guys. You can't bet every guy, though. Like, that's not how it works. And this reminds me of a story from last season. Matt Vincenzi, he was a great golf bettor, great golf writer, does some work for Golf WRX, I believe, right now. He would do, in his weekly article that he would kind of put out every week, he would always put his models results, like, at the top.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is, okay, I would say 98% of the tournaments that Scottie Scheffler is playing in throughout a year, no matter what stats I punch into a model, Scottie Scheffler is going to be one or two at the top of the model, yeah. Right? So Matt would always post his model, kind of the same sort of thing. So in a stretch, when Scottie Scheffler's winning everything, he's not betting him every week, yeah. He's getting attacked by everybody on Twitter of like, how dumb can you be? You post your model there. Why aren't you betting that? Yep. And it's just not how that works.
Yeah, now, by the way, also I should add that is there some confirmation bias in there? Did I probably not play a favorite or two that the numbers showed that actually ended up losing? Probably also, right?
Yes.
But that doesn't annoy you as much as the seven big dogs that you left on the board. Anyway.
Yeah, no, totally.
Just in case you needed a reminder for those who hadn't heard that in a while, that there are so many different things that annoy in sports betting and that you try to overcome hurdles. And when it feels like it's you who did it yourself, the big, and I'll leave it at this, but the big final kick to that is you also have that sense you have to capitalize on those moments when it happens because they don't come around every day.
Yeah.
And so that's also the huge lament of it all. So it messes with you. It's like the sports betting mental health equivalent of what the kids call mental health.
Exactly.
Now
it is. And I think we're talking kind of tennis and golf here, right? But it applies to everybody. For all that you're betting NFL week to week, if you maybe made three bets, but you've got a bunch of sides you lean to. Well, we've all been through those weeks where every lean hits and your bets just okay.
For sure.
It's something you have to fight through.
And you don't acknowledge in those good weeks that you could have easily gone off the rails if you had picked something else. We'll get to more football, obviously, coming up here momentarily. I do want to talk NBA real quick before we get to all the football talk with all our guests, because there were three games in the NBA last night, all involving the top teams in the Western Conference, with the exception of the Minnesota Timberwolves, but teams 2, 3, and 4 in your standings. Clippers end up beating the Thunder. Thunder were on a back-to-back, but they were in L.A., so not much of a back-to-back in terms of travel, because there was no travel. And Clippers get it done by 11. Paul George with a season high in that ball game for the Clippers with 38. James Harden super duper happy in LA. The Clippers lost 6 in a row when he first got there. They have now gone 23-7. Do I have that right in their last 30?
I believe that is correct.
23-7 and 18-4, I believe, since the beginning of December. So things looking good. With the clip show, Suns came back from a 22-point fourth quarter deficit to beat the Kings last night, 119-117. Who led the Suns in scoring? Beal, you ask? Booker? Durant? No. Grayson Allen tickling the strings to 29 balloons. He had 29 last night, 9 of 14 from behind the arc. And then the Sixers beat the Nuggets. Sixers won a back-to-back after MLK Day. At home, though, back-to-back. They beat the Nuggets 126-121. Jokic with a 25-11-19 triple-double. And Joel Embiid said, oh, I got your triple-double. 41-7-10. With a 10-in-a-row stretch in the fourth quarter that really was the main stretch for the Sixers in that victory. Embiid did have a 30-10 double-double streak snapped. What do you have, 16 games?
Yeah.
How many games in a row?
So it's I was interested to see how ESPN kind of twisted that this morning.
Yeah.
So, yes, he had a 30-point 10-rebound-plus streak going.
How many in a row did he have that?
I forget. I think it was 14.
I thought 16, but something like that.
Okay, it's something
still
like that. And he was on the verge of breaking the record. That didn't happen, but he does have – he's now behind only Wilt like five times of – 30 point double doubles.
Yeah.
It was specifically the one last night had to do with rebounds, which he didn't get there.
He got 7
last night. Yeah, didn't get 10 rebounds. But now he does have a streak going of 30 point double doubles that only Wilt Chamberlain is in front of him, and it's like five. You know when you see Wilt like 5 times, it's like, you know, Wilt this year, Wilt this year, Wilt this year, Wilt this year.
Oh, I
and
see.
And then Joel Embiid.
The double double was points rebounds. Now it's a point. It continues with a point assist.
Exactly. It's just a double double. Yeah.
Gotcha. What are your takeaway from a night of big Western Conference ball?
I mean, it was amazing watching Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic go head to head. I mean, those are the two best players in the NBA. Like, there's no doubt about it. I know we talked about last week. You know, me making a Giannis bet, and I stand by that. I love that bet. That number's gotten way shorter since then. And Joel Embiid, this is going to be a race, I think, to the end of the. It's not only going to be the Joel Embiid Nikola Jokic comparison, but will Embiid play enough games to qualify for MVP? And right now, he's doing incredible things out there that he would, you know, if he hits the minimum number of games, I think he's going to win it and win it with a little bit of ease. I actually went during that game to try to buy back on some Embiid position just to cover at least Embiid and Giannis, because he had drifted. We looked at it the other day. He had drifted as long as 6-1, I saw, at least in a book here in town. So I was trying to bet that live. Every time I tried to pull it up, it went down like 30 cents during the game. I'm just getting shorter and shorter. But, yeah, that is overall last night, Western Conference. Those are the cream of the crop teams outside of the Timberwolves. But I think once we get to the playoffs, it's going to be Suns, Clippers, Nuggets that we're talking a lot heading there to the Western Conference Finals.
JVT is not shy about his perennial Clippers love. Again, 23-7 since that six-game losing streak. 23-7 in their last 30, 18-4 since the beginning of December. We'll ask him about the Clippers and his NFL thoughts. Jonathan Von Tobel next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. In today's newsletter, Kelly, a lot of folks, and we're aware of this, on our Twitter feeds talking about how the app is no longer. I just want to let you know that... Kelly and I did not make that decision, right? Someone else made that decision. We were not consulted on said decision. Yet that is the decision of the company to do that. And Bill Ady wrote something nice today on the website, basically, you know, talking about that. Excited to introduce a redesigned VSiN.com, and that, you know, essentially what they decided to do is move everything to the website designed to meet the current and future needs of the exponentially growing audience for news and information on wagering, he says. And, you know, fresh look, advanced navigation. By the way, the website looks spectacular.
Yeah, brand new website.
Looks great.
Great looking website. A lot of people did a lot of hard work, great work on that. JVT, we're coming up next, regularly writes on there, so
yeah.
Hopefully you can find his stuff even easier and it'll even be even better displayed.
But Bill did write. He said, in conjunction with the site launch, we are sunsetting the VSiN mobile app. We've decided to focus our resources on the website, and we believe that the new VSiN.com will be your all-in-one mobile headquarters with everything you loved about the app and what you were missing by not using our website. So check it out, VSiN.com. Bill Ady being upfront about everything.
Yep.
So we hear you, and we are receiving you. And Bill is open to all suggestions, by the way, he said, at bill@vsin.com. He also points that out. JVT joins us. I had the pleasure of hanging out with him for a little while the other night when all those folks were getting their big checks for the contest. He is our senior NBA analyst. He is the co-host, along with the great Kelly Bidlin, of Hardwood Handicappers. It's Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. How you doing, JVT?
I'm good. It's a fun NBA card today. Looking forward to it. NFL playoffs. March Madness is going to be here before you know it.
Oh,
it's one
man.
Of my favorite times of year.
Who doesn't love March Madness? Can't wait for that. And by the way, I love how the Super Bowl has crept out further and further through the years, that the distance between the Super Bowl and, say, conference tournaments is now a blink of an eye. Used to be, you know, a couple blinks, but now it's just one blink. Let me ask you, we left last segment by talking about these three NBA games last night. I know you're a big Clippers guy. You are a perennial Clippers guy. We talked about it briefly, I think, you and I the other night. Where do you stand? At 23-7, their last 30, 18-4 since the beginning of December. What's the deal? They're winning it all, John? Put your cards on the table.
They're the best team in the NBA. I don't think there's really any question about this at this point right now. When they're fully healthy, Gil, they are up there with the Boston Celtics. I've talked to people about this that I respect in the NBA handicapping community that would agree with it. When this team, and again, you always use that caveat, and I always stress to people too, I think that's a fair caveat, right? I am very faithful that this team, when together, is the best team in the NBA. And if you want to rebut and say, well, I haven't seen them together for long stretches, I totally understand that. But the returns have been there for years now, Gil, that when they are together, which makes it one of the more intriguing stories, the returns are that they're one of the best teams out there. And when you look at them with Kawhi Leonard, with a net rating that is elite, amongst the best in the NBA, of the top 10 most efficient lineups, Gil, in the NBA, the Clippers have two of them. And all you do is sort out Norm Powell for Terrence Mann. This team is deep. They have plenty of centers. They have plenty of wings. They have plenty of guards. When they are healthy, I think they are arguably the best team in the NBA. I think they are the best team in the NBA. And I think every single statistical return would tell you that. And last night was such a good example. Look, the Thunder were in a bad spot, right? You're playing, I think I wrote about it yesterday. I think it was like their ninth game in 15 days. The third leg or second leg of back-to-back, third game in four nights, whatever. But they give up the lead, the Clippers do, late in that game, and they decide, you know what, no, we have Paul George, we're just going to put the clamps down, and they immediately go on a run, Gil, to not only win that game, but cover six in a game that they were trailing by one late in that contest. Like, this team has everything that you'd want, and if you're going to tell me now that they are healthy, again, a very fair caveat, I tell you that they win the NBA Finals. I think this is the best team in the NBA.
Plus 425, only the defending champion Nuggets are shorter than the Clippers to win the Western Conference. And in the entire NBA, they are among the short group of teams at the very top of the betting board as well. Real quick, whether they win it or not this year, is it your instinct that they can keep this together? I know Kawhi took a little less money than the max to sort of try to leave some room for others. Paul George has a contract coming up. Harden is there for at least this year. Do you think it stays together long term?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you read in the tea leaves, it'd probably be the case, right? Kawhi doesn't, I think, sign that deal if not kind of understanding that that's going to be there to also go ahead and grab Paul George. And Gil, I don't know what the problem is. James Harden said he wants to be there. He's never said that before, so I think
happening?
He's going to be fine.
What is this?
But I know, right? But I will say that I do think that, I mean, for better or worse, Harden's kind of worn out his welcome in a lot of different spots, so he might just not have really much of a choice. But it also, I think, helps that this team has a run written all over them if they're going to be together and healthy. So I do think that they can keep this together for the foreseeable future, you know, about 3 years or so, opening up that new arena next year. And I think after that, of course, it's a mystery. But I think for the foreseeable future, this thing's going to stay together.
All right, let's get to your picks. What do you like at the NBA tonight?
So I got four today so far. There's a couple of them. First off, I'll give Kelly a hat tip here. He's been on this team for a while, and maybe I'm a little late, but I'm willing to do it. The Cleveland Cavaliers are at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. They're catching four right now. It's getting down to 3.5. I just don't understand what we're seeing with Milwaukee anymore. Since the start of January, 4-4 straight up, 1-7 against the spread. And the lone cover that they have, guys, is the spot of spots, catching Boston in their fifth game in 8 days, third and four, second leg of a back-to-back where they blew them out. They've been terrible, and their defensive rating has been very poor since the start of January and all season long, 121. Damian Lillard has been under the microscope, and rightfully so, for very, very poor defense at the point of attack. And he gets to take on Donovan Mitchell, who, how about this, in his last two games, guys, has 79 points on 26 of 51 shooting. I'll take my chances with the Cavaliers at home, who, by the way, are at the end of a homestand that has stretched over the last 2 weeks. So they're home, they're rested, they're ready. I think that this is a pretty good spot here for Cleveland. There's a couple of others. Mavericks plus four. Doncic got upgraded to questionable. I think he is going to play here today. They played well without him. They're 5-3 straight up ATS in their last eight games. He's missed four of them. Kyrie Irving himself, 37.4 points, 6.4 rebounds, 6.4 assists on nearly 50% shooting from the floor over these eight games. He's played extremely well. And with Doncic back, this Los Angeles team, 6-12 straight up and against the number in their last 18, not playing well. They started a new lineup the other day against OKC, but I thought that was more about catching OKC in a bad spot as opposed to the improvements, but I'm willing to take the chance there. And then jumping in front of the buzzsaw, that is the Utah Jazz, guys. I took four. We're down to 3.5 in a lot of spots. It's going to be the primary number here coming up. For anybody who hasn't been paying attention, the Jazz are 15-4 straight up and against the spread in their last 19 games. They have covered those games by average of 11.1 points. It has been crazy how good Utah has been. However, Gil, in those 19 games, they closed as an underdog 14 times. We're now starting to see this swing here for Utah, where they are rightfully so being upgraded. But now you talk about opening up four against Golden State. I get they're not in any great shakes, but I think the Warriors here are getting a little undervalued, and especially the second game back for Draymond Green. There's going to be better continuity, and I'll take that with the Warriors. And last but not least, the ugly dog of the day. I don't get it. The market, again, is moving in on a team that over the last 18 games is 4-14 straight up, 3-14-1 against the spread, and it failed to cover by a league-worst 6.7 points per game. I'll take six with the Portland Trailblazers at home. It's a play on principle. I don't think that on a neutral, the Nets are 8.5 points better than a Trailblazers team that they are statistically equal to over the last month. So those are the four for me. Cavs plus four, Mavs plus four, Warriors plus four, and Trailblazers plus six.
Warriors going to break this up big time.
You know, I think they're not going to really have a choice. I mean, you can only chase the ghosts of a successful franchise for a really long time. And Steph Curry still has, I think, a lot of mileage on him to being a high-level basketball player. Andrew Wiggins has not played well. Draymond Green can't stay on the court. Klay Thompson has not played well. I think you blow it up, Gil, to the extent that you're trying to reconfigure this roster around a guy who still has championship-level play in him. And it sucks because it's not official yet, but like Pascal Siakam was a name that was mentioned for them that they could potentially go and grab. The price seems pretty high, so you don't know if you can do that yet, but I would assume that you're trying to retool this as much as possible, because the Steph still has plenty of championship run in him given the way that he's played.
Yeah, let's hope so. Okay, 30 seconds now, so let's go 60 seconds. NFL division round, four games. What do you like best?
So I think what I like best, and I don't mean to curry favor with you because you are a Bay Area guy, San Francisco, I think, is going to have a lot of offensive success in this game. And whether that leads to covering the number, I haven't gotten there yet. But you can get over 3.5 total touchdowns at minus 125. I think that's my best bet of the weekend, Gil. I think San Francisco is going to be able to come in here and match up with the Green Bay defense that has been really below average throughout this entire year. And you can talk about the turnaround over the last two games of the regular season. There's Minnesota and Chicago. Dallas still had over 500 total yards in that game, over 5.5 yards per play in the game that they lost on Wild Card Weekend. San Francisco has been getting ready for this team. They're rested. They're ready to go. They're well schemed. I think that San Francisco is very live to go over their total touchdowns at 3.5 at minus 120 or minus 125. Also think they're very live to cover 9.5, but I want to see what the market does. And if it gets a little bit lower, I'll play them. But San Francisco, my best bet for the weekend.
I like it. Favor curried. By the way, John, sorry Britton and I talked you and the Kazarian's ears off with a little tennis talk the other night. We apologize for that.
Oh, I loved it. I was learning. I was sitting and absorbing it all like a sponge.
Absorption. We appreciate it. JVT, everybody. At me, JVT. Hardwood Handicappers. Of course, he is our senior NBA analyst, and he is big on the Clip Show. Maybe this is the year. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Good to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. How often do you guys do Hardwood Handicappers? Every day.
Every day, Monday through Friday.
I knew the answer. I just wanted to hear it out loud. Every day. Basketball. We'll come back. Will Hill joins us, all of his division thoughts. It's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSIN, you'll get four free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and four free rich, juicy, boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Skill Alexander, always appreciate the feedback here. Robert Smith, as a fellow backer of the Ravens to win the AFC, how do you feel about these two bets? He's got Ravens to score the first rushing touchdown in every playoff round, excluding the wild card round, but in the parentheses, loser if they don't make the Super Bowl. Well, you got to run the numbers
Wait,
on that.
Say that
That's
again?
The caveat.
They got to score the first touchdown of every game.
Ravens
they
score the first rushing touchdown in every playoff round, excluding the wild card round, which obviously they didn't play in. But it's a losing bet if they don't make the Super Bowl. So it's a double layered bet there. If
right.
You will.
So they because they have to. Okay.
Got my evil.
Where the hell do you even make this bet at? Like that's incredible.
Yeah. I got my Evel Knievel helmet on, going through these tweets. I'm bouncing from one to another, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Rockette Morton, good morning. If you have time during today's show, could you discuss if the Texans or Packers games reach 10 by the weekend? Thanks. Well, the Packers are already 10, right? Packers and Niners?
No, we're down to 9.5.
9.5 yeah, now, tick
that
down?
Is 9.5, Ravens is 9 pretty much everywhere.
I will be honest with you. I don't know. Like, I'm never great at figuring out if at the end it's going to tick upwards or down on this. But I will say 10 will be the point of resistance for sure.
It and, won't... And the playoffs get a little trickier, right? You get way more public money that's involved, and, you know, favorites and overs are going to be bet as you get closer to the game by those guys.
The question is, if it gets to 10, how quickly does it get ticked down again? 3-Jack, H3131. Andreeva rolled last night down under against Jabeur. Chances she can somewhere grab a tournament win this year. Oh, 100% she's winning a tournament somewhere, whether even if it's just a 250. But she's live for even a 500, I would think.
Who, Andreeva?
Mira Andreeva, the good sister.
I mean, I know that was a big match yesterday, but those odds, her odds got cut big time after that win. She's down to like 10-1, I think, to win.
She is, I mean, but we've talked about her on the Beating the Book podcast, on our Slam, you know, episodes, Drew, Dan, and I, many times. Like, she's the girl coming on the come up. But last night was comprehensive against Jabeur. Like, she crushed her. But she'll win a tournament this year for real, for sure. Johnny Vegas, hey, Gil and Kelly, you're holding this ticket. He's got Lions and Bills to meet in the Super Bowl. What are you doing next week if they both get through? Well, it depends who they're playing, would be my answer, because they'll either be they'll either be underdogs or favorites, depending on who they play. Rick Olier, Kelly, hey, Usher, want to come on our show during Super Bowl week? Usher, nah, man, I'm good. Kelly, we'll give you $10 and quarters to play Sigma Derby. Usher, how quickly can you get me on? I think that's a very realistic conversation. Will Hill joins us, everybody. He's the star of the Megapod, which we're doing about an hour and a half from now with Drew Dinsick and Todd Wishnev, the division round, at Not The Will Hill. He's got his own podcast, too. Should Have Bet More. And, of course, he's on the Bear Bets pod over at Fox with Chris Valica. How you doing, Will?
Illy, what's going on? I'm good. Still doesn't feel like a Megapod day. I think Monday, the fact that we had playoff games and it was a holiday Monday. And then yesterday, my kids had a snow day. So my days are all jumbled. Doesn't feel like a Wednesday.
Yeah, we kind of had to remind Todd. Got that feeling yesterday where he's like, oh, yeah, Megapod. Actually, it was Oy Vey Megapod, I believe, was the exact quote on that. Did you want to say anything about Tony Romo's performance, or did you just want to leave that for off air?
It was good, Jim.
It was good, Jim. Jim, I think that's
understand.
A fumble.
He used to be so insightful. He was so much better than like the second best guy. I don't know if like he just got, I don't know, satisfied with the money. He used to be critical of the players. Maybe it's the time away from the league where he was fresh off the field and he knew all the players. He knew all the tendencies.
Yes.
And after a couple of years, that cycles out. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
That's a great call. Because I always bring this up. Chris Cooley, who played tight end for Washington for many years, beloved player for Washington. Chris Cooley, a tight end out of, Utah State, I believe. Cooley went on DC Sports Radio right after he retired. And I remember, so he retired 1 year, and then he was, you know, for the next year, he was on the pregame shows. And I remember the other broadcasters were trying to say, oh, I think they're trying to do this and the thing. And Cooley's like, I haven't been there. I was just there a second ago, and I have no idea what they're doing. So, yeah, to your point, that probably did happen with Romo. And I do want to shout out Brent. Brent Musburger, when we were all loving when Romo was doing that, Brent, who's a much more seasoned broadcaster than all of us, he, from a play-by-play guy's perspective, he hated that. He thought it was a bit of a show-up of Jim Nantz at the time where Romo would call the play in advance. Thought that was interesting.
Well, that is interesting. I mean, I know people complain that he like talked too much or he talked over whatever. I thought it was insightful again at the beginning, and I don't get too bothered by him. He's not like the worst one, but it's definitely not what he was. I mean, he's probably been in the booth now 4 or 5 years. Definitely not what it was his first year or so.
What do you like, without giving away all your Megapod plays, I guess, but what do you like best this weekend?
My favorite play, I am going back to what I did last week, fading Green Bay's defense. My favorite bet is San Francisco team total over.
There it is.
You can pick your juice at DraftKings, like 28.5 is -135, 29.5 is like -110 or -115, and then 30.5 I think is right around -102. I think I went right in the middle. I think I went over 29.5, -115 or so. I want them to get 30 plus, and then I'm good. 30 is a key-ish number. This is still a Green Bay team that gave up 30 to Carolina. They really, you look at their season, they really didn't play a lot of the good offenses. They didn't play Dallas until the playoffs. They didn't play San Francisco. They didn't play the Bills. They didn't play the Dolphins. And I got lucky last week. Dallas got the 32 points. That was dead for a while. But even with everything going wrong, I still got my 30 plus. So to me, San Francisco rested, healthy, time to prepare. You do have to worry a little bit. I guess there's going to be some wind, some rain. To me, San Francisco is going to be able to move the ball pretty much at will here. I can't see a scenario where San Francisco doesn't get 30-plus points here. So San Francisco team total over is my favorite play.
That last line, I can't see a scenario. It's so true. Like, the confluence of events that would have to happen for this team not to get to 30 seems way more outlandish than the opposite, doesn't it?
And sometimes when you're betting on these team totals, you're thinking, all right, I'm just betting on my offense versus their defense. Oh. But then you're not like, I looked up at the end of the first quarter of Green Bay, Dallas. Dallas had one possession. Green Bay milked the clock. They kept running the play clock to zero. Dallas came out conservative, ran it a bunch of times, gave the ball right back. And you look up, the first quarter was burning. Dallas had zero. I was like, I'm in some trouble. So again, everything kind of went against me, and Dallas still got their 30 plus points. You could say, hey, it was garbage time, which it was, but still, San Francisco's going to score here. I think I don't see Green Bay really stopping this San Francisco offense, and Alexander's banged up. And if you just throw away from Alexander, there's a lot of soft spots on this Green Bay defense. This is still a Green Bay team that couldn't beat Tommy DeVito in the Giants not that long ago. So San Francisco, I don't like the 9.5. I don't love the San Francisco defense. I think Love will be able to move the ball. I don't love laying the points. I'm not anxious to take it either, but team total over, I think, is a good play.
Okay, I lied. Let's hear another one. Besides this one, what do you like?
Under Chiefs Bills, I think these teams still have a reputation. We think of that game 2 years ago, and it's eerie. It's the same time slot. It's the same round as that 13 seconds game 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. People still think of that game as back and forth, 42-36. These are not these teams anymore. We talked about it in the Megapod all year, where Kansas City's an under team. They're a defensive team. The Bills now are more of a running team. 45.5 or so, it's ticked down a little bit. To me, this is more of a 23-20 game than like a 34-31 type of game. Weather's a bit of an issue. It's going to be in the 20s. So to me, these teams just living off their reputation of being offensive oriented. I think they're a little more defensive oriented. I just don't know that the market is caught up with the Chiefs. I mean, we say it every week. Hey, they're an under team. They're an under team. I wish I'd been betting all these unders. It seems like they go under every week, but to me, that's an under game.
I love that.
Kelly's nodding.
Kelly is nodding. It's
one of those you sit there at the end of the season. You look at what their over under record was. It's like we said it every week. Yeah. Said it every week, and I never bet it either. Well, like I feel like I made two bets all year.
Do you have it in front of you?
I'll pull it up. It's the best in the league.
By the way, I love that football is so steeped in our culture that Will or anybody can come on here and say, "Oh, the 13-second game," and we all know exactly what he's talking about. Or the Kadarius Toney game.
Right.
28-3 in a Super Bowl. People know exactly what that is, who was playing, what it means. You don't get that in other sports.
This has got to be the best rivalry in football, right? I mean, we don't have one. We had Brady versus Manning for a while. We had Seahawks 49ers for a bit. We had Steelers Ravens. We don't have that rivalry right now. This is the third time in the last 4 years, I think, they've played in the playoffs. This is probably the best rivalry in the NFL, I would think.
This is Kansas City 5-13. To their over-under record. So 13-5 to the 13 unders in 18 games. And they are, use that like total plus minus over at team rankings, they are -7. So they go 7 points lower than even what the total is.
It's funny. Is it the best rivalry in the NFL? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I think you might be right.
I don't know what else would be.
Ravens Steelers isn't one anymore, in the same way that it was. Niners Cowboys.
Washington versus competency. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
We're going so well, man. Why? How dare you? Okay, final thing. Do you have any futures in the NFL? Like, are you hanging on something?
I played the Chiefs at 6-1 before the season, and I gave this out, Bear Bets Podcast, Bills at 50-1. So that's not going to get home. It's funny. It was 50-1. Now it's like 5-1, and I feel worse about it at 5-1 than I did at 50-1. I don't like that one.
Did you take that right before they beat the Chiefs? Was that probably right at their bottom?
It was that week. Yep.
50-1.
That's what I was talking about yesterday. Will came on, talked about that, and that's when I bet the exact.
The 80-1 exact of Bills beat Niners. All right. Well, I hope you both lose. Let's put it that way, based on my bets. But I love you both. Will, I'll talk to you in about, 80 minutes. How about that?
All right. See ya.
Megapod coming. Will Hill, everybody. Should have bet more, the name of his pod. We're coming back. More NFL. King Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook. With code VEGAS, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Edward Lefever, he said, Gil, look out for Paula Badosa. Have her 151 to win the Australian Open. Well, I always look out for Paula Badosa, if you know what I mean. But 150-1, good luck, man. I don't think he gets there. But she looks good in her return from injury. Alfonso Arambide, On your suggestion, placed a Eagle wins the Aussie, 49ers to win Super Bowl, and on a complete dart, I added Rudy Gobert defensive player, 80-1 at the beginning of the NBA season. Fingers crossed. Thanks. How about that?
I played that at the beginning of the NBA season?
Oh, well, I don't know how he's wording it. Rudy Gobert defensive player, 80-1 at the beginning of the NBA season is what he wrote. Maybe the parlay is 80-1. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I was gonna.
No, well, that doesn't make sense. Maybe it does. I don't know. We'll have to interpret. Well, a new segment interpreting the tweets coming next.
Gobert defensive player of the year odds were way longer at the beginning of this year than they have been in, I don't know, like 7 years.
Oh, so maybe he got a bad number.
I don't think he would have been able to find him that long though. But either way, that's a great little cross board parlay.
Trust the glove. It's in my DNA also, Gil, this betting thing. I count on you to help me be better at it. Like I said previously, the guy who spent his younger years betting baseball in the casinos, that's the guy I'm listening to. That's me, man. So many hours rethinking my life at the Hard Rock. What am I doing betting all these baseball games? Middle of the summer. John Balduzzi, not to bomb on sponsors, but 2-1 odds. I'm in the bathroom 5 minutes after eating air-chilled chicken. Hey, John, there's no need for that. There's no need for that at all. And then K. James, three-team 10-point teaser for him. He's taking the Texans plus 19, the Niners down to a half, and the Bills plus 7.5. That's okay. His 10-point teaser. He don't care about rules, going through zeros. K. James doesn't care about that stuff.
He doesn't play by your rules. He plays by nobody's rules but his own, Gil.
Marches to the beat of his own orchestra is what he does.
That's what I respect about him.
Thank you, K. James. First-time tweeter, many-time listener. Before we get to some division round props, we did this last week. We do this every year before the wild card week. We do it every year before the division round. And the reason we do it is because so many NFL football games get decided by their kickers, teams' kickers. And we never really focus on their stats, so we don't take that much time. We only take a couple minutes. But because of that, we figure before these 2 weeks of the playoffs, why not just take a glance at them? And so we do here before the division round. Let's start with the NFC and see if there's just anything that might, stick in your head when you're handicapping. Let's take the Packers and the Niners in the NFC. That's the Saturday afternoon game. The only thing here, when you look at, and I tracked here, their field goals, their extra points, and their 50-plus yard field goals on the season. So Anders Carlson, 27 of 33 on the year, 3 of 5 from 50-plus. He did not attempt a field goal in the Packers game against the Cowboys. He did have 7 extra points, though, and he made 6 of them. That's the one thing you should keep in mind about Anders Carlson. Of all the remaining kickers, and this was the case before the wild card week as well, when there were 12 teams playing last week in addition to the two with byes, he's the worst at the extra points of all the remaining kickers. So he was 34 of 39 on the year, and then he missed an additional one last week. So he is good for a miss on a PAT.
You know, this always sticks out to me in other sports where it's like if I'm watching college basketball or something like that, and I'm like, be like the random times I turn on one team, and I always see the one guy play incredibly well or incredibly bad compared to what other people are talking about him. I feel like I've seen every missed kick by Anders Carlson this entire
season. Me too. He's always missing one of these.
I would have guessed, if you had to go blind resume there, I would have guessed that his numbers were way worse than they actually are.
The other NFC game, which is the Sunday morning game, it's the Bucks at the Lions. Badgley, who has not kicked that long for the Lions. The more noteworthy one is Chase McLaughlin, because if I asked you, Kelly, okay, of the remaining 8 kickers, who's got the best field goal percentage, who's the best from 50-plus, and who has not missed an extra point, would your answer have been Chase McLaughlin?
Chase McLaughlin. Oh, yeah.
McLaughlin.
Obviously. Yeah, totally.
Of the Tampa Bay Bucks is your
answer.
Who
would not have gotten that? Yeah, come on.
29 of 31 on the year, kicking field goals. He was 3 of 3 last week. 7 of 8. From 50-plus during the regular season. He was 1 of 1 last week. And 33 of 33 extra points, including and plus, in addition, 3 of 3 last week. Let's go to the AFC. Now, you think you're blown away by Jace McLaughlin's field goal numbers? How about this? In the first of the AFC games, which is the first game in the Houston Texans Memorial time slot, Saturday morning.
I'm still reeling from this a week ago.
Kymie Fairbairn has the best field goal percentage of all the remaining AFC kickers, believe it or not, 27 of 28 on the season. And by the way, also pretty good from behind 50-plus, 5 of 6. Although Harrison Butker is 5 of 5 among the AFC kickers, 50-plus this year. The worst 50-plus kicker of all the remaining kickers, and this was the case before the wild card round either. Who you got? Do you got Justin Tucker? Because that's the answer. 1 of 5 from 50-plus this year. How is that stat not more pervasive?
I don't know.
So, really? He was 1 of 5? Yeah, he was.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? And I don't think we're at this point yet with Justin Tucker. Nobody's talking about this. But remember when Vanderjack was, like, so good? It was him and, like, Vinatieri for years and years. And then Vanderjack just, like, disappeared. Well, like, it was bad, and then it was just it was incredible.
Idiot kicker who got liquored up. Remember that whole rant?
Yeah. But, like, his play fell off, too. Yeah. It was just... I'm not thinking that's Justin Tucker, but I got my eye out. 1 for 5?
1 for 5. And then in the final game, the Chiefs and the Bills. Advantage Butker over Bass. Bass has missed his share of field goals this year. He's only 24 of 29 on the year. And last week, remember, he was 1 of 3. One of them blocked, remember. So Bass is, in terms of the field goal kicking, he's actually the worst of the bunch in this whole group. So anyway, to whatever extent that sort of, sticks a seed in your brain when you're handicapping, I think it's always interesting to look at. Okay, division round props. Kelly, what you got here?
We got highest and lowest scoring team we're going back to for the divisional round. So highest scoring team odds, no surprise here, 49ers plus 190, Ravens plus 330, Lions plus 350, Bills plus 650. Then we go to Chiefs at 11-1, Bucks 12-1. Packers 15-1 and Texans 20-1.
And these betting odds will be correlated to the team totals, which are derivative of the game totals and the spreads. So it makes sense why the odds are what they are. So we just talked about with Will Hill. You and I have talked about it this week. We've talked about it in previous weeks. The Niners team total over is just sort of a go-to auto bet. So if I took the Niners off the board.
Which JVT played also, by the way, just in a different way.
Okay, yeah.
Right? He played over 3.5 touchdowns, right? Same thing.
That's right. If I took the Niners off the board, they're plus 190, they're the short shot. So they're obviously who we would pick. But if I took them off the board and I told you, hey, they weren't the one, who would you bet on as the one that got there?
Okay, so I know you're asking me that question. First of all, if I saw a 49ers round 2-1, I think I'd actually play it a little bit this week. I do like points in that game.
Yep.
To answer your question, yes, I think it would probably be Ravens next. However, what I wanted to point out in this one is if you're out there betting the Packers or the Texans this week, I'd be splashing a few bucks in this market as well.
Sure.
That's
your handicap.
Right. I just don't see if you're betting the Packers or Texans side, you have to be thinking it's going to be a high scoring shootout game that they end up winning. At least that's how I would approach
it. If that's your handicap. Yeah. If you think they can win outright, is what we're saying.
Right.
If you think the Packers can beat the Niners or the Texans can beat the Ravens, then you should sprinkle on the 15-1 or 20-1. Makes sense to do so. If that's your handicap, that's the big if. If capital I and capital F on that. But if you don't have that handicap, which I'm assuming most don't,
right.
In my mind's eye, I could see the Ravens just doing one of those things. Remember how the Ravens crushed the Lions and the Seahawks and teams like that, where they just scored a million in the first half? I think the Ravens at plus 330 are appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that multiple times this year. There is no reason for us to think that's not a possibility of happening with the Houston Texans.
That's why Aaron Schatz had them. I can't remember what happened after week 18, right? But Aaron Schatz has both the Ravens and the Niners as two of his top 10 historically great teams since 1981, since as far back as he's been tracking DVOA. And the reason that the Ravens are actually the one higher than the Niners, and I don't know exactly what place they finished in, I'll check here momentarily, was because of that was that streak of blowouts against otherwise kind of good teams, like the Seahawks and the Lions. I think I'm forgetting somebody as well. Oh, the Niners, of course, themselves. So I think it's the Ravens. And by the way, lowest scoring team odds is just the reverse of all of that.
It would be Bucks here for me or nothing.
I don't believe the Texans
should be the favorite in this.
Yeah, the reverse in terms of the odds. But yes, you can handicap it differently. I think the Bucks plus 450 is where I would go with that as well. Could see them laying an egg. Mike Pritchard on the other side. Levitard next on DK. We're coming back.